Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's truly an honor to be here tonight. I don't take it for granted. It's a rare privilege to come share God's word here. As I will always say, whenever a senior minister invites you to preach, it's not because they lack ministers. It's just God trying to encourage you. Can we please celebrate our father, Pastor David, Shola Oludoyi, and Mama, Pastor Mrs. Grace Oludoyi. Thank you so much. I don't take it for granted. It's truly an honor. I honor all the ministers of God that are here. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Tonight is a quick charge, and I've been saddled with the responsibility to share with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just here to speak to us very briefly on seeking God purposefully. Glory to God. And I believe somebody will learn something tonight that will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Can we lift our hands toward heaven in 1 minute and just talk to the Father one more time? Tell Him to speak to you. Your heart is open to receive. Abba, Father. He said they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. We have come to receive. We have come to draw. Can you ask Him tonight for an encounter? For an encounter. For an encounter. For an encounter. Is it times of refreshing? Cometh from the presence of the Lord. We have come to be refreshed. We have come to be reinvigorated. We have come to be set on fire. Go ahead and speak to the Father. Spirits are legalistic entities. It's according to your word that you'll be justified. If you desire Him tonight, tell Him, and He will pour of His Spirit upon you. Can we lift up a cry? Thank you, Abba Father. We give you praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Father, we ask that you pour upon us mightily tonight of your Spirit and bring us illumination by your word. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Please sit down for a moment. Because of our time, let me just lay foundation very quickly tonight. I'm speaking on purposeful pursuit of God, like I said. And tonight, I just want to lay a few foundations, and I believe God will use these foundations to speak to us and to speak to us very definitely in the name of Jesus. So to begin with, I'd like to lay a disclaimer because there are different schools of thought in the body of Christ. And usually when theologians hear themes like this, they begin to debate you with new creation realities. And so I'd like to say very quickly that when we speak of the pursuit of God, we are not saying God is running while we are chasing Him. Neither are we saying God is lost and we are trying to find Him. Glory to God. We understand very clearly that He is in us and we are in Him. Glory to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible tells us, it says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And He calls it the mystery of this age. And so we understand very perfectly that God is in us. And we also understand that we are in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. It says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. In Colossians 2:9, it says concerning Jesus, in Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it said in verse 10 that we are complete in Him. So we understand that He is in us and we are in Him. Nonetheless, we understand from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible said God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So although we are in Him, there are realms in Christ. There are dimensions in Christ. And so when we are talking about purposefully pursuing God, we are speaking on pressing for dimensions in God that will cause us to walk in the fullness of our ordination. Glory to God. So that you are in Christ is not enough. There are realms in Christ. There are dimensions in Christ. There are layers of possibilities in Christ. And if you don't press to access those layers, you will never get them. So this is an intentional dealing with God to access all of the dimensions of God that you require for the fulfillment of your destiny. You need to understand that in God's dealings with us, especially in His benevolence, as touching the things He makes available to us, there are three forces that regulate them. Number one is the force of obligation. God is Father. And so as Father, there are things He makes available to us, even when we don't desire it, even when we don't seek Him. I have two very little boys. One is 3, and the other one turned 1 today. They don't even know they need clothes. In fact, when you want to wear clothes, wear them clothes, they fight with you. When they are hungry, they just scream. You have to discern that this cry is hunger and avail them food. They won't afford you the luxury of saying, I want food. When they start crying, you use your discernment to know that they are hungry. And we are just monitoring them to get them everything they need. Because as Father, it's my obligation to provide for them. But you see, if they remain like that for the next 2 years, there's problem. If they remain like that for the next 4 years, there's problem. It means they are not growing well. So God will deal with you from the place of His obligation as a Father. But that's not all God's dealings with you. There is also a second realm where God will deal with you based on love. So He will gift you things because He loves you. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, the Bible said, if He did not withhold His only begotten Son, but gave Him freely for us, He said, how shall He not with Him give us all things? So there are things God will give you because He loves you. So on one part is His fatherhood that places an obligation on Him. On another part, there is the love nature of God that will keep motivating Him to bless you, even when you don't deserve it. But you see, when it has to do with your destiny, most of the things of destiny are an entrustment. And so you need to come to a level where you qualify to have them. Although grace has made it available, but you will demonstrate certain levels of maturity, desire, and pursuit to access them. This is what separates Christians into cadres. And so you have come to this conference seeking God because everything that your destiny requires, you want to press to access them. Because the matters of destiny, they are not a gift. Most of the issues of destiny, they are end in your dealing with God. Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So he was not denying the grace of God. He said, nonetheless, I labor more than they all. So everything Paul was working in, there was a labor under grace that made him to access them. If you don't press deliberately and intentionally in your pursuit of God, there are many things you will hear of you will never have. There are many dimensions of God that your destiny will require that you will never touch. You may see it in others, but you may never have them. Not because they are not available. Grace has made them available, but the question is, do you have sufficient hunger for those dimensions to come to you? Do you have sufficient desire for those realms to open to you? This is why we have come here tonight. There is a deliberateness and intentionality required in our pursuit of God. That intentionality is what we call purposeful pursuit of God. When a man comes to a point where he realizes that he needs God, and he realizes that the things of God, although available, are not cheaply accessible, and he makes up his mind to press for those things. Unfortunately, we are in a generation where men are no longer seeking God because there are many alternatives. But I tell you, there is a place you will get to in life where none of these alternatives will suffice. There is a place you will get to in life that all of the human alternatives will fail you. The Bible says, woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. And so anybody who trusts anything other than God, there is a threshold where he will meet disappointment. And the Bible says, woe unto that man. So we are talking seeking God with intentionality. We cannot overstate this reality. I didn't know this thing early. I wish I did. Many seasons were lost. Many battles were lost because I was not intentional in my pursuit of God. I was not purposeful in my pursuit of God. When I realized it, I knew if I would do anything in the kingdom, I would do it with every sense of deliberateness. You know, people say things like, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. I believe it. But you pray, let's see if there is power. That means, although prayer is powerful, if you don't pray with intentionality, you won't see power. And that is how it is with everything in God. You hear people say, the name of Jesus is powerful. Call it. Let's see what will happen when you call it. That means there is an intentionality in handling that name for it to be powerful. When I studied my Bible, I realized
realize that although prayer is powerful, but there are requirements that if not fulfilled, prayer will be powerless. For instance, if you don't pray with revelation, you will have nothing. So if you want to pray, you need revelation. For instance, if your prayer is not heartfelt, you will not have results. The Bible said the heartfelt, consistent prayer of a righteous man is what makes power available. If you don't pray consistently, you will not see power. If you don't pray with intensity, you will not see power. So there is nothing in this kingdom that is a waste. But when you begin to engage, the question the realm will ask you is, where is your intentionality? Where is your deliberateness? And the summary of it all is that in your pursuit of God, there must be purpose attached to it. There must be deliberateness attached to it. There must be intentionality attached to it. And so very quickly tonight, three things I want to share with us is how to pursue God purposefully. If we say we must pursue Him purposefully, what does it mean to pursue Him purposefully? Number two, what I'll be touching tonight are hindrances to purposeful pursuit of God. Because see, the devil knows that the day you become serious with God, the realms will begin to respond to you. So he has created stumbling blocks to make it impossible for you to do that. And then number three, I will share the benefits of pursuing God with intentionality. When you find anybody who is pursuing God intentionally, there is a way it is done. There are hindrances he's avoiding, and there are benefits he will always have for him to do that. And so very quickly, what are the indicators that shows that someone is intentional about his pursuit of God? Number one, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. The first indication that a man is intentional in his pursuit of God is a pursuit that is done with intensity. There is no lukewarm person who will ever find any dimension in God. This generation of exhausting all your energy and lying down 5 minutes to sleep, and you are looking for something to make you sleep, and you say, Father, I love you, and you sleep off, you will be among the crowd. You give all your best in your work. You give your best in every other thing. Then when you are tired, you don't have anybody to sing a lullaby, and you use prayer to substitute what will take you to sleep, we are joking. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, it says, if you seek me, you will find me. Only when you seek me with the whole of your heart. So anybody who is not seeking God with the whole of his heart is not purposeful about his pursuit of God. And God knows it. Because he studies you. He understands you. When you wanted to marry your wife, he knows how many hours you spent on phone calls. When you were looking for a job, he knew how early you woke up. He knew how late you went to bed, preparing for the interview. He knew when you came to the office. But when it had to do with him, every other thing is cast away. We are joking. If you will need to call your wife for 3 months, persuade her, woo her, win her confidence. You know how many hours you invested. You know how much resources you invested. Even though you were not a smiling person, you smiled by force. Because you wanted to woo a woman. And then you are talking about a spirit that hides himself. The Bible spoke in Exodus 20:21. It says, Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. One of the names of God is Jehovah Zephaniah, the God that hides himself. When God operates like that, it means he wants to see the level of hunger in your spirit. The psalmist said, as the deer panted after the waters, it says, so my soul longeth after thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You want to find a man who is pursuing God? Check his hunger. Check his passion. Check the intensity with which he prays. check the intensity with which he worships. Most times, people who lead prayers here, they are frustrated because of the lukewarmness of the people. So we are looking for diverse ways to motivate them. The keyboard is playing, the drum is playing. We are shifting from one song to the other just to get the people up. What a shame. When you find a man who seeks God, even in the market, he will forget when he lifts his hand, because there is a fire raging. And so what that man does is to service that fire. In Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. If you are looking for a purposeful seeker of God, check his fire. In John 2:17, Jesus himself spoke. He said, the zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. Never lost his fire for a second. We are in a generation where people can't manage spiritual fire for 1 week. That's why we are seeking one revival meeting to the other. Because we know that the one we are receiving now, we can't sustain it. And the reason is because we are not passionate about God. We are not guarding that fire. We are not preserving it. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, this commandment give I thee, O son Timothy, that you fan to flame the gift of God that is in you. This is not something you quote from a scripture. There are indicators that show that you are purposeful in your pursuit of God. God will check the fire in your spirit. For how long can you sustain it? Many trivialize their fire. Even movies can kill the fire of many people. And they say they are seeking God. No. Jesus said, give not holy things to swine. They take it for granted. They will trample it underfoot. That's why they can't have spiritual things. If you are purposeful in your pursuit of God, one of the indicators that show is what you do to keep your fire. And ask those who keep their fire, they pay the price to keep it. If they need to cut off relationships, they cut them off. If they need to avoid certain locations, they avoid there. Because they understand that if we lost this fire, we lost the presence. He said, quicken us, O God, so shall we call upon thy name. They know that it is the fire in their spirit that draws them to his presence. And because of how valuable his presence is, they will do everything to keep that fire. If you are purposeful in your pursuit of God, it will show in your management of your spiritual fire. The second indicator that shows that a man is purposeful in the pursuit of God is his consistency in prayer. When you become too busy for prayer, it means God has become an alternative. It's not the major objective. I'm not saying you attended a prayer meeting. I'm not saying you prayed once in a while. I'm talking consistency. Because anything that is central in your life, you do it on a daily basis. And so if you are looking for a man, listen, this is not just about I occupy a position in church. Please, we are not talking professional Christianity. We are talking something that is in the womb of the spirit. It's something that is sacred in your heart. All of us serve God in church, and it's a great honor. But hear me, you can be serving in church and you are dead in the spirit. If your prayer altar is gone, you are no longer deliberate in your pursuit of God. And so those who are purposeful, they know where they meet God. They know the hour they meet God. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible said they were going to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. So the church, they prayed so much that they had an hour for prayer. And everybody will shut down everything to be there. Because it was their place of encounter. They will not trade it for anything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:7, it says, pray without ceasing. If I'm the one you are seeking, then you keep engaging me. You keep engaging my realm. You keep communicating with me. You can't tell me you are deliberate about seeking me and you talk to me once in a while. Sometimes when you call, I may be too busy. Because I will face those who are serious about me. And so when you find a purposeful believer in his pursuit of God, he shows in his prayer altar. In the days of the patriarchs, men were thrown into the fire for praying. For refusing to bow to any other thing but God. In the days of the patriarchs, when they wanted to set a Christian up, they used prayer to set him up. We know this man must pray. So pass a decree that nobody should pray to any other god. Oh, God said, listen, I would rather stop being a senator. If it's prayer, you can't stop me. And I will not hide in praying. He opened the window to Jerusalem and he was praying. So a man was thrown into the lion's den for not stopping prayer. But we are in a generation where you beg people to pray, they don't show up. Are we not jokers? Is it the same God we are serving? Somebody did not just lose his job. He lost his favor with the king. And his life was at jeopardy. Yes, he didn't compromise. If it's prayer, I won't stop. Cast me to the lion's den. See, when they got the three Hebrew boys, they say, oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. What is human connection when we lose divine connection? We are not careful. If you like, make the fire hotter. We will not bow. We are in a generation where people bow to their jaws. You are in a nation today where, because they know we are lukewarm, they double the money they pay on Sunday and many don't go to church. All over the world today, the smallest size of any congregation is a prayer meeting. Because we are gifted and skilled in religion. But when it comes to interacting with the spirit we claim we worship, we don't know him. A generation must become angry. A generation must become angry. I won't be told the story of God until I leave this world. I won't be told. John said that which was from the beginning, which we heard, but we got tired of hearing others tell us about him. So we handled him. We touched him. We engaged him for ourselves. A point must come as a Christian. Thank God for my pastor. He's a good preacher. But I must find this God for myself. I must touch him for myself. I must hear him for myself. I'm tired of a prophet telling me, don't fear the Lord. Let a prophet tell me what God told me. The voice of a prophet should become a confirmation. I will hear him for myself. We keep shouting, fake prophet, fake prophet. The reason they are fake prophets is because they are fake Christians. How many prophets do you see lying in ministers' conference? They know they can't lie there. All of us engage God. The reason a fake prophet can come lie to people is because he knows they don't care about God. They care about what God gives. If a prophet meets those who care about God, he knows he can't lie. Because when you talk, we will tell you, which source are you communicating from? We know that frequency. We too can tune into that antenna. Which frequency are you operating for? Which God is saying what you are saying? And you will discover that when genuine Christians rise, the fake prophets will stop. You call for miracle service, see the crowd. But call for prayer meeting. Is that a generation that won't have fake prophets? You know, messages like this can't be taught. It's a burden. It's a burden. You find Christians who should be the light of the world begging God because they have no relationship with him. It's only when there is crisis they are trying to seek God's face on an emergency basis. Those who are purposeful in their pursuit of God, they are locked on to their altars. You can find them there. I read about Abraham, I almost wept. You never trace where his tents were, but the altars of Abraham never die. That means his altars were his most formidable structures. The tent can get lost, but the altar remains. So that many generations can come back and they find the altar. Imagine what will happen if our children come back and they can trace the altars where we prayed. Even when the house is old, when they enter the room where you encounter God, the pillar of his presence will still be standing. And the God of the fathers will become the God of the children. No heritage in the spirit. Because we don't have people who seek God with purpose. Number three, what does it mean to seek God with purpose? Commitment to the study of the word. You want to find out how God thinks. You want to find out what God says concerning situations. It's so pathetic in our generation that even areas where we have crisis, we can't trace God's thought on the matter. You ask a young man, you ask a young woman, he or she wants to get married. What did God say about marriage? He knows nothing. Meanwhile, this thing is written in black and white, but he can't find it because he doesn't care what God says. Most of us have read many books, but the Bible, no. So we know what the philosophers of the world have said, but we don't know what our God said or is saying, because we are not seekers of God. This is why I pity people when they begin all this new creation stuff, raising weak Christians that have no standing in the spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, he says, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attendance. Verse 15, he says, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may be made manifest to all. Give attendance. Where is the generation that will give attendance? In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes it's even a shame when you see Christians debating with people of the other religion. They are quoting their documents verbatim. And a Christian will tell you, yeah, it says somewhere that this is that. Give a Christian the Bible. Tell him, open Malachi. He doesn't know. And that person says he's a seeker. God has no relevance in your life. If he does, you have not found out. Because if you have found out, you won't be that careless about God. Those who are purposeful seekers of God, they do business with the Word. And they do that business until they are transfigured. The Bible says, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. That glass he spoke about is the Word. Because he was talking in previous verses. He said, till today, when the law is read, the veil covers them. He said, now that we have saved, we have been saved, we have turned to the Lord. So as we read the Gospels, as we open the message of the Gospel, he said, we are transfigured from glory to glory. This is where our life changed. But a generation that don't have any business with the Word of God has risen. We love philosophy. We love human ideology. We are gifted in them. But when it has to do with the secret oracles of God, you can no longer find custodians in the body of Christ. The Word of God has become alien to a generation. So much so that many even despise the Word now. The Bible has become like a fairy tale because we no longer have biblical archaeologists who will go deep into the Word until they excavate the powers that are locked therein. A generation must rise. A people must be born again that do business in deep waters. Because the Bible says they that journey to the deep, they are the ones that see the wonders of God. Number three, what does it mean to be purposeful? It's a lifestyle of worship. In John chapter 4 verse 24, the Bible says God is spirit. It says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not a song. Make no mistakes about it. You can worship through singing, but worship is a state of adoration. You come to that point where because of what you know about God, you are full of adoration for him. And on account of your adoration for him, you are yielded to his authority. So that whatever he demands of you becomes the priority of your life. The first time the word worship was used, nobody sang. In Genesis 22 verse 5, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. He loved God. He adored God, that every instruction God gave him was a joy and a delight for his heart. And even when God told him to sacrifice his son, he said, I'm going up to worship with a young lad. He knew what it was. See, we have gifted singers. We have professional singers that sing for money, have no relationship with God. If a man becomes purposeful, every day of his life, an endless river of adoration flows. And his life is a total committer to the demands of the spirit of Elohim. A generation of worshippers. I'm telling you indicators so that you don't make the mistake, because we gather in church, you assume all of us are seeking God. Don't make the mistake because we gather in church, you think all of us are pursuing God. Those of us who are pursuing God, there are indicators. We know when our fire is down and we will do anything to get it up. We know where our altars are. We know where we meet him in the secret place. We know. When all of us depart from church, individually, we trace our altars. Those of us who are purposeful in our pursuit of God. We know where our Bibles are. And we know the commandments of God that have become laws for our lives. We know. There's no question about it. And everywhere we are, we know what comes out of our spirit for God. And when those sounds begin to shut down, we know there's a problem. Anytime you go to work, you are driving, and what's coming out of your spirit is lamentation, is fear, is anxiety. Something has affected the rivers of the spirit in you. The Bible says, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those are worshippers. Because when you are driving, what will come out of you are the sounds of heaven. What will come out of you are the melodies of the spirit. Because even when you are driving, an intercourse is happening. Because your life has become an endless connection with the spirit of God. And so even in your car, even in your bathroom, even in the midst of trouble, before you cry, hallelujah, comes out. Because you can't help it. Your heart has become like the string that God plays. Our heart is an instrument in the heart of the Father. Every melody He wants to bring into the earth, He strings the chords of our heart. That's why we are worshippers, because we are the instrument that satisfies the hunger of God's Spirit. And so a generation that lacks worshippers is a generation disconnected from God. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy are you, Lord. Oh. Holy, 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 oh. Holy, 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 holy. I read the story of a woman called Fanny Crosby. She was blind, but they said she wrote 8,000 hymns. And I was asking myself, why was she not looking for healing? Why was she not running from one miracle service to the other? The Spirit of God had arrested her. And so it no longer mattered whether she saw or not. Because she could find her lover anywhere God was. She could trace God. She could trace God. The intimacy made God real to her. And the earth became a mirage. And so even in the place where you would have caught despair, rivers of living waters were flowing from her. And she served generations after her with songs that were eternal. When you go to heaven, what will be your legacy? The cars will end here. But the memorials that you raise, they will be remembered in heaven. The Bible said the prayers of the saints, it said, it ascend to heaven as odors, and they are stored in golden vials. Angels pray for me from time to time. You don't know that even some of the revivals we are seeing now are not prayed by the Christians of today. Some of the things we are seeing today are the promises and the covenants God entered with men. Some of them lived 200 years ago. But although they have gone to heaven, the remnant of their life remains here as a testimony. And so when God visits the land, you'll be shocked that no preacher was part of that visitation. The reason for that visitation. Sometimes it's because of what somebody who had intercourse with him 100 years before triggered that came. Even 100 years after he was gone. This is what it means to live like an immortal. Because not all of us are mortal men. Because when we came into intimacy with God, we were configured into immortal realities. And so the witnesses we bring to our generation are expected to outlive us. But how can it happen if we are not worshippers? If all we look for are the things before our nose, our generation will be truncated and our essence will be lost as far as the chronicles of God are concerned. A generation will rise. Oh! Purposeful pursuit of God. Number 5 is the heart of obedience. In John 14 verse 15, he said, if you love me, if you desire me, he said, keep my commandments. So those who are purposeful in pursuing God, they are heavy in obedience. I fear for my generation. There are many who don't hear God. And the few who hear God will tell you with audacity, God told me, but it's hard. I can't do it. Oh, then you wonder, where are we going? Do we have a future with God? When the history of God is told with our generation's future. I read my Bible, and one of the things that scared me was the fact that after Malachi, although people were living, but God didn't have a record among men until John came in the wilderness. And Bible scholars told us that window was 400 years. That means 400 years people lived, but they have no record with God. Because nobody had stature enough to peep into heaven and to bring sounds from Zion. When a man begins to pursue God with intention and intentionality, it shows in the extent of his obedience. When God speaks, he literally trembles. And if God has not spoken, he's troubled. Because the psalmist says, once have the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. Because you know that you have no essence if God has not spoken. You don't move by what the government suggests. What determines your navigation are the voices that come from the womb of Abba. And so when God is not talking, you can't move. You move only when God talks. And so for you, obedience is not just a requirement. Obedience is your compass for destiny. So when God talks, as you obey, you discover you transition from one level of glory to another. Those who are purposeful in their pursuit of God, they are heavy on the altar of obedience. Number six, those who are purposeful in their pursuit of God, they sustain and manage their sensitivity. Anything that will blur their sensitivity, they shut it down. Because they know that they need an antenna to commune with God. God is in another dimension. It's a realm called the spirit realm. And we are in the physical realm. And so anything that will distort connection and connectivity, you will never let it. And so when you find people who are purposeful, they service their sensitivity. They service their antenna. It's on the strength of their discernment that they walk with God and their lives find meaning. The Bible said in Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, it said they are the sons of God. They are the ones who can carry kingdom on their shoulders. Because kingdom is not for children. Kingdom is for sons. It said the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. Not the child, the son. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The moment the son appears, he said the government shall be upon his shoulder. But what makes you a son is your ability to discern and to follow. He said, for sons hear his voice and they obey. They are navigating by the voice of God. So their sensitivity can be altered. I fear for Christians who can tell you boldly they've not heard God this year. It's like a blind man standing in the middle of traffic. That's why everything is noise to him. If he takes a step, he can die. If he stands, he can still die. So you find many Christians who have become casualties in the battles of life because they don't have navigation. The devil came and dulled their discernment. And when the discernment died, they were lost. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their mind. So when the man loses discernment, he's lost. So when you are purposeful in your pursuit of God, you guard your discernment. And then those who are purposeful, they have burdens for soul winning. Because they know the way God's kingdom is expanded is in their participation in soul winning. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, he said, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing their trespasses on them. He gave them the word of reconciliation. So we live here to reconcile men back to God. That's how God is pleased. In fact, the Bible says, if one sinner repents, he says, heaven rejoices. So if you are pursuing God purposefully, you will do things that will cause God and heaven to rejoice. This is why they are particular about soul winning. And soul winning is threefold. They either go out to win souls, or they pray for souls to be won, or they give for souls to be won. This is why those who seek God purposefully, they make sacrifice their lifestyle. You can't walk with the spirit without sacrifice. The most ancient thing in human civilization is sacrifice to spirit. The moment men were created, altars were instituted. Because you cannot have a relationship with the spirit without sacrifice. And so anybody who wants to walk with God, who is purposeful in the pursuit of God, must become heavy on sacrifice. This is what it takes to be intentional about pursuing God. But this will not come cheap. Because there are oppositions. And because my time is finished, I will list them out. God will give us understanding. What are the limitations to pursuing God purposefully? Number one, worldliness. James 4 verse 4. It says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. So anybody who loves the world can never chase God. The energy to pursue God will not be there. Number two is misappropriation of priorities. The Bible said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things shall be added. It didn't stop you from having a career. It didn't stop you from having a job. But never make the mistake of prioritizing anything above God. Number three, lukewarmness. When a man comes to a point where he allows himself to become neither hot nor cold. It's not Satan that will fight him. God will spill him out of his mouth. Revelation 3:16, he said, because you are neither hot nor cold, he said, I will spill you out of my mouth. Number four, sin and disobedience. When you make sin your friend, your journey with God will stop. He said, if I hold iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then finally, it's self-sufficiency. None of us is a champion in this matter. We keep trusting God for help on a daily basis to keep seeking Him. Because by strength shall no man prevail. As you do this, all of the benefits of having God is bestowed upon your life. Can we bow our heads and pray? Worthy to be praised, you are the Lamb. Don't fool.